Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks very much for coming along. And I'd just like to introduce you to Chris Thompson, who's Regional Director for Panelux Southwest, who's going to give you a chat about green lighting or something similar.
There we go. Are we all on now, Mike?
Yeah.
So I'm all mic'd up now. There we go. Hello. Hello, everybody. Yes. My name's Chris Thompson from Panelux Lighting in Bristol. I've been working in the industry now for 25 years. Starting as a lonely jail boy, and now here I am standing in front of all of you lovely smiley faces. I'm sure there's everybody from all different backgrounds here, so I'm not going to be today going right into the nitty-gritty and the electronics of the actual lightings themselves. Were you still all okay?
Yeah.
Yep. What I'm trying to gauge with everybody is to give an idea of the various products coming through, the pitfalls, the positives for it, as well as then obviously dealing from our side of things as being a supplier, opposed to obviously the manufacturers, and after all, I'm sure there is in this room the customers who are then asking the suppliers for the lighting and then moving forward for us then to actually then deal with the manufacturers simply because of the large range which they are. So I just wanted to start off with the actual LED products themselves, being that it is very new to the industry. For some people who here can, from a long time ago, as it were, that the majority of the lighting we used to deal with was literally just purely tungsten. Then all of a sudden these discharge lamps came along, which then altered the style of lighting which we now know as being daylight source lamps and tungsten source lamps. We now have the LEDs, fluorescent lamps coming into the industry, so it's really a case of then for people to understand what type of products there are, as well as being able for you to then actually get them to use for the productions which you're trying to shoot. Simply because the amount of variance which we actually now see makes it very, obviously, very sometimes daunting for people, certainly DOPs choosing, like a cameraman or even the gaffers coming into dealing with ourselves, to actually what actual products is best, what is it going to be something which is a comparison, or is it something which is going to actually assist or actually even change? I'm looking to change our style of lighting for new lamps. The key thing which we've noticed recently is it seems that there is a large market, and everyone keeps asking when is there going to be a 1 kilowatt tungsten equivalent of LED lights, of which various manufacturers are actually trying to produce some. There are, at the moment, I think, up to 650 equivalent lamp fixtures, which are trying to gauge themselves as being a Fresnel-type lamp, so therefore you do have a pinpoint source, which is working well with the manufacturers. However, they always seem to be changing to getting something newer all the time, which I will then try and go through with the type of fittings which we have. So if we wanted to work with the LEDs as a base, so it's really looking at the green issues opposed to trying to obviously keep down the power consumption for the fittings. At the moment, we're myself working quite heavily involved, I don't know whether people here know the BBC Casualty is moving over to a new site and a new drama village over in Wales. Working with that site, it gives us a brand new opportunity to look at all new products, to try and actually evaluate what is there, and also altering the sets to try and make them, changing them from a traditional tungsten lighting set, which is, could well be very heavily loaded on the kilowatt side, so therefore your power consumption energy is going to be obviously a lot higher. Working with the BBC sustainability team, so that's the tricky word out of the way, it's not only that they look at trying to print both sides of a call sheet and us using various recycling poly cups, they also obviously are very much involved with trying to actually deal with the power consumption and changing and trying to embrace the actual products which we have. So at the moment, only simply because the new set over there will be a daylight set, meaning that, for instance, which is a little bit different to how most studios run, is simply because they want to actually use a dynamic where they can actually bring people in from the outside world in through the main entrance of the hospital and in straight through into Homestead Set. So that gives ourselves and trying to deal with the DUP, it's a bit of a challenge there, simply because you're now dealing with daylight fittings. So with looking at the modern products around and then trying to also keep it so you don't have a vast spectrum of lighting, so that we have certain products which we can put onto the set which we know and are working and actually fit the needs of the program itself. Because what you can end up finding is that majority of the time you're lighting more of the background and spending time on doing that, opposed to actually then lighting the foreground in that type of studio environment where time turnaround of the scenes is also much important these days. We're looking at the different products which we'll sort of go through. We've managed to actually think that at the moment we won't actually have a tungsten lamp source actually on new casualty set, simply by using a lot of fluorescent lighting, which will be overhead fluorescent fittings which we can control off of a lighting desk, as well as actually then using fluorescent products which we can actually have on stands, and then also using the LED fixtures. The key thing also is being able for the background is to use it for architectural lighting as well as using it for practicals. Now the products have enabled us to do that, and that gets me back to, I've been to a fair few trade shows of late, and they say the manufacturers are really trying to keep in pace with the demand and at what individuals out here will probably want to work with, because it's the lamps which they've always known. They know what they can do, but introducing newer fittings is always going to be tricky because you don't know where they are, what type of outputs, levels of lighting. Now, working with the team, and also ourselves as Panelux, who we do actually start manufacturing and try and take the best of each of all the various products out there. So just as a bit of a background on the LED fittings, obviously the fittings can come in either a tungsten balanced mode or a daylight balanced mode. Now the daylight balance, which we've noticed on different fittings, can range quite considerably from 8,500 K all the way down to about 5,000. And that can really vary between some manufacturers. Now if you have the odd singular lamp, which we can discuss later in talking of someone who's got a one-man sort of interview kit, that type of thing isn't going to be too much of a problem. But if you have a vast amount of different type of light fixtures, then, of course, the key thing which you want to make sure is that the colour balance across all of the lamps are actually going to be the same. Which the reason mainly which we've been discovering why there's such a big fluctuation in the colour temperature on the fittings is simply because, which is not trying to get into the technical side of things too much, is based upon which is the key phrase, which is the bin numbers, which is actually how the LEDs are actually manufactured themselves. The LEDs are manufactured pretty much on a sheet. Those around the outer edge are not as there's more substandard in iridescence to the ones which are based in the centre. So therefore, you can then end up having, so your more expensive fittings are going to be the ones from the central area, opposed to the ones around the edge are going to be more unlikely to be the ones you're probably going to be sold from China. And various, they go into other fittings, and then the cost of the fittings gives you a large, you might then be drawn to having a cheaper fitting, when in fact, actually, that's going to actually cause you more troubles down the line. So we've been doing lots of testing in trying to actually achieve and get a standard, because at the moment there isn't pretty much of a standard with them. Everybody knows what a tungsten lamp is, a redhead, you pretty much know exactly where you are, you can count on that. You know pretty much where you're going to be with daylight source lamps. The manufacturers give from a brand new bulb, for example, a plus or a minus of around 300 degrees Kelvin. So we're actually having a set of lamps which you're trying to then light through windows or actually shoot with, you're pretty well fixed. But with the LEDs we're finding, there is a huge spectrum, which in some instances, yes, you probably want a bluer lamp fitting opposed to having a tungsten fitting. We also have been dealing with where you've probably heard of the phrase RGB, which is the red, the green, and the blue. So you can actually colour mix the LEDs to actually achieve colour temperature which you're after, just as much as I think that pink sauna, they have some bicolour lamps, which you can also then change that between tungsten and daylight. The area which those lamps, those fittings we're testing with you, there ends up being a vast amount of green within the fittings themselves. So anybody who's been dealing with fluorescence knows that, there is a green cast from them. Now that green cast, certainly for an essence or studio set like Casualty, can cause us all manner of problems. So we've been working extremely hard and dealing with the actual source of the LEDs, the manufacturers of those, to actually then secure a product which we then can actually have a standard, so you can actually rely on that fitting. The fittings themselves, of course, are evolving all the time, so you could quite easily go to a trade show at the moment and see a replica or an equivalent, say, 650 lamp. And of course, when you're there, that could be model one, and you're then told that model two is quickly on its way, and who knows then where you are then with model three, four, and five. However, there does has to come a point, we're saying, with every lamp fixtures, that you do then have to then start and say, right, okay, these are the ones which we're going to be using and hiring and using, and you start from that level. We have some other complicated parts of the design of the Casualty set, as simply not just to work with the fluorescence and balance those with the LED fixtures, but then also trying to light the artist as well, and with the advent of HD, which hopefully that show will be shot upon, just as much as the lovely Arri Alexa camera outside there, regarding the amount of levels of light which you do or you don't require for whatever you're trying to achieve. So one of the events which we've had of late, which was very informative about the BBC television censor, was trying to then dealing with all manner of productions, whether that be a drama-based or studio-based or productions like Newsnights, where they're also very keen to bring down the level of consumptions for their programmes. The lighting directors there were all very focused and know the exact type of lamps that they know what a Parcan can do, the 1 kilowatt source lamp, but then they also know where some of the LED fixtures. So they've been trialing those to try and obviously decrease the level of power consumption for them. Where we've been struggling with that is simply because everybody knows what a 1 kilowatt lamp does. You know exactly, you can focus the light, the quality of the light and everything which you have from it is very different to what you actually get from the equivalent LED source lamp. There are ones which they're trying to, because the nature of barn dooring them, being able to control the light, is then proving somewhat tricky. Also, the other area, of course, with them is that how much they cost, which also then has to sway between one way or another, because some of the newer fixtures could be up to £4,000 each per item, opposed to how much you would probably use a conventional tungsten lamp for. So I personally think that people are trying to take things to one level too quickly, when in reality you can still achieve great pictures. You still can achieve in reduction of power consumption by mixing some of the old and the new, which is what we're probably more finding out on drama, is that the type of light fixtures which we can have, LED fixtures, which are actually very good for soft lighting, can come in for key for highlights and that type of thing. So the type of products which we have there at the moment are working very hard. In fact, some of the products which I was hoping to bring a couple down today, I can't, because they're out working, which is great news, because that shows the versatility of them. Where it'd be great avenue to go down is for people then who are doing from all different levels, that's not just from drama, who are doing a single documentary, where that you could actually fill up a vehicle full of lighting products and come and shoot in an area, and of course you're drawing everything off of a 13 amp supply, opposed to actually then using larger lamps, and then could well be struggling. We've been looking at the outlay of the cost of actually purchasing those type of items over that kit being used over a year. If you're consistently using it, then over that period of time you should be able to then see a decrease in the consumption which you're using for the fittings. Now, I've introduced you to a couple of fittings so that you can see where we are, really. It's hard to actually bring all different types of light fixtures in. However, I just wanted to give you an idea of, I know I've been waffling on somewhat regarding actual the manufacture of them. So we have got some couple of fittings which everybody may or may not have seen, which we find very useful. Oh, that will come up. Now, this is a Rosco kit, and this is a kit which has got all panels of that. Oh dear. It's very good, isn't it? There we go. It is. No, you're right. You're okay. You're fine. Now, these type of fittings are exceptionally versatile and handy. They all come in different sizes. So for us trying to put things into cars, even ambulances, or even trying to hide them on desks behind monitors and that type of thing, they are very good. Again, they can come in daylight or tungsten on the panels. A lot of these are soft. You will also find ones which can either be flood or spot, depending upon the orientation of the LEDs actually on the pad. This one here has the LEDs bouncing into a central area, which is then reflecting it out, so thus producing a softer light. These panels, these are actually very, very popular because of the nature of the kit. You have all manner of different sizes within it.
Are they dimmable?
They are dimmable, yes. They are dimmable. The kit can come either in a dimmable version, or you can even, because these are 12 volts, you know, you can come off of a cigarette lighter on a car, or croc clip off of a battery, or you can actually come off of a camera battery in that as well.
Can you attach barn doors
to that? For those type of fittings, you can't do. That's a good question, because some of the problems we're having also with them is just literally because it is an amazing amount of light for the size of it is, but it's being able to control it. Some of the fixtures, and certainly the ones which are out on the stand outside, you're looking at trying to put some egg crates in front of them, which you might have actually probably seen on the Kina Flow fitting, so actually trying to control it. And those egg crates can come in different sizes and degrees, depending upon how much light you want out of them. So just as I mean, they all come in all different sizes, which you know, it does work exceptionally well on most of the sets and that which we use. We also have, which is a different type of version as well. These were probably pretty much the first ones we pretty much used straight away, and that is a battery power 12 volt LED. And again, with the difference being with this one is it is pure LEDs then coming straight out the front, opposed to them being bounced. Again, these are dimmable, and again, if you wanted a flood version, you get the flood type with the LED, or you get the spot, and you can then try and mix two to a kit. And on the front of them, they're all Velcroed so that you can put there's panels of CTO or diffusion, so it isn't as harsh. But for something on top of these. Adapted pretty much for using on cameras, or even again having it as a handheld piece of kit like that is obviously very versatile as well.
How robust are they?
Well, actually, that kit I had to because again these work all the time, and that's just come back from Doctor Who on St. Alstall. And I opened up the kit this morning; and it was somewhat wet and salty. So a quick dry off shows you that these are pretty much bomb proof. These type are. I mean, they are a little weighty, but yeah, they certainly are. Opposed to some of the other products you've probably seen around. Again, that's the other problem for us as a supplier, is being able to purchase something which is going to have the longevity. It's okay working in a studio environment, but for taking them backwards and forwards out on location, into the back of a vehicle, back to the base, is always going to prove problematic for them. If you just bear with me one moment. Okay, these panels here, and I'll try not to dazzle people with them, this is something which we're developing ourselves. this is taking all the technology which is open to us and all the pitfalls of various different fittings. This here is a daylight sourced fitting, and at the moment that one runs at 8,000 degrees. We're having them in as that's a 600 by 600 size. So in reality, that actually could replace a modular fluorescent fitting. So we've been developing that and looking at that type of fitting for the casualty set, because majority of the lighting within it is actually ceiling fluorescence or the 600 modular fitting. Those also can get used, which is an area which discussed as such, is where LEDs are fantastic at the moment, and it's tried for quite a while, and that's in broadcasts and events type programs, live shows, where color washes and actual architecturals with them are fantastic. Some of the displays and the controls which you can have on events is second to none with some of the products which are out there. This fitting also it's always the tricky bit when you're having to keep replugging. Again, that now is the tungsten variant of it.
Have a headline price on that kind of
stuff? No, I couldn't tell you, John, actually how much those are at the moment. Because the other thing, I mean, they are very crude, because that is literally what we're developing at the moment. They will be mounted into a frame and a yoke. They will be dimmable as well, so you can. They'll be on a stand with a central mounting plate rather than on a yoke, so you can spin it any which way you like. They'll also be able to. You'll be able to put four of them together, or even link more to make a large wall. These also fittings we are going to be using for green screens as well. Because we've been finding that the best part, and what's the word? See, I'm drying up now. The best adaption for some of these fittings, and certainly with the fluorescence, is actually lighting green screens and sykes, where we've been finding that using fluorescence over a traditional green screen or a coving is far, in a way, better than actually lighting them with conventional lights, whether that be space lights, which are 5 kilowatt, or sky pans, which are 5 kilowatt as well. So once you start adding all of those up for a studio space, you start ticking all the right boxes for productions and their accountants.
Can I just ask, the tungsten there,
yep.
All right, I accept that it's not on the market yet.
But sure.
What happens if you gel them to bring them up to daylight? I mean, is there a big drop?
There is not much of a drop off with them. Obviously, you've got the transmission value of the gel itself soaking up the light. The way we've been trying to actually develop them is actually going for a fitting and doing all of the various readings with them, with the taking as much green out of them as we can do, then controlling them so that the actual LEDs themselves allow for it to be controlled, so that you can actually still rely upon that color temperature still being the same. Some of the fittings which are bicolour, they're the ones which you can alter between daylight and tungsten. There is sometimes a bit of a lead time in by the time it actually those fittings actually settle themselves down. So we haven't actually discovered too much or anything as yet regarding changing the properties of the light once we put the gels upon them.
You mentioned the green problems.
Yeah.
How much do you source the LEDs with the best
CO2? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you could do to give you. We actually think the LEDs are in there are from a supplier now, which we've been working with for quite a while, to actually getting the kind of temperature which we want. I mean, that daylight one was 8,000, which I know they've been doing some tests on for the new Alien film, and as far as they're concerned, that's what they require. For some other productions, of course, 8,000 is just going to be too much. It's going to be just too blue. So it's a case of then now you're into the realms of. Right, I now need to get five, six LED fittings. So how many fittings are you then going to have? What we're looking at trying to do is then having you have then a kit so that you can choose the particular or you start at the production which you want for the value, just as much as for those people who know about Kinoflow, you can have the three colour temperatures within that and you move on from there.
Thank you.
The one area, though, which actually is a follows on from that, where some of the manufacturers, the actual light fitting themselves, the ones which you can mix are the RGBs. The area which is troublesome with those, of course, is if you have a rig of, I don't know, let's say there were six of those fittings coming onto myself now. They're all controlled by a control system called DMX, which is a mode of being able to control light fixtures, which you can control 512 fittings off of one control cable. Those fittings, obviously, each one then has to have its own particular address number, either 1 to 512. And then also it's probably had its light blended to actually create the colour temperature which you require, which is fine, so you've had all time to actually sort those lights out and get the colour temperature which you require for the shot and what you were trying to achieve. However, your problem then becomes is where that light then fails, which unfortunately most mechanical things do at some stage. It's now the time process to be actually then go back up to that lamp. Any spare light, you now need to, obviously, the readdressment of the DMX is moments, but then the blending of the lights, because now you're trying to bank that those fittings are exactly the same manufacturer, the same actual source of the LEDs, so therefore when you actually then change that light, the time which it's taking needs to be reduced. We have noticed, and that could well be a problem. That's why we've tried to shy away from those type of things for the casualty set, simply because you have, again, such a vast range. So we're trying to keep it as simple as we can do, but then still embracing the newer fittings. If that makes sense.
I'd imagine then there's no limit to the set. That's about 600, you
said. Yeah.
No limit to the size you can make?
No, indeed. And so, I mean, they are going to be smaller, just as much as the Roscoe, the panels there. We are going to make them of a smaller size, so therefore you do have a kit with them. So, again, that enables you to fit them into any particular location which you're trying to shoot, yes. Just as much as you can put those other smaller items together, because the key thing is being able to actually create this standard so that you know that you can get one lamp out that, even if it's from a different manufacturer, because that is quite easily, but that will is a possibility at the moment, that you will come across different fittings and you put them together and they will be totally out, and then you're having to, you know, correct them again with gels. Has anybody got any?
Do you see a time, I mean, in the kick, wallet and scramble market, do you see a production of a three-redhead kit equivalent?
Yeah, they are trying to look at different fittings. I mean, whether it is I mean, to say, they have got a 650 equivalent at the moment. Gecko are one manufacturer which have gone that way, and I know Arri's are producing their own type of lighting and that as well. But again, they seem to be being led by individuals and saying, no, I actually want a 1 kilowatt Fresnel equivalent or a redhead equivalent, when in reality, do people really want? And that's the question which everybody then needs to then start asking and using the products and going in a different way with our lighting.
I mean, because in a way they're ending up what most of us spend our time doing, which is scrimming down like crazy to make whatever you've got to produce a broad soft light.
Yes.
I mean, for oral history interviews and that kind of thing, they're going to be ideal.
Again, working with a kit, being able to take that, and it's something which we're looking at trying to do, is create a van with the equipment in it which you can then just roll out. Which will then cover most scenarios. And the hardest thing for us as the suppliers, and it could be different ones here now, is actually engaging that price, simply because of how much they actually then cost at the first place at the moment, making sure that the product isn't going to be changed in 6 months' time, and also the familiarity that the people who are operating it know it and then can start trusting them.
I would imagine that. The drop off would be greater on these lights than you would expect on a redhead.
Yes.
So the distance is crucial there, isn't it?
The distance is crucial, because if you're looking at what you would call like the punch and that from them, then yes, that's true. That's why they've worked exceptionally well in some of the light entertainment programs, simply because you're not actually needing it from that level. You're just using it majority of the time as a visual. You're panning a camera across those, and they're all changing the colours or the various architectures which they do with them. They work exceptionally well for that. But from actually then trying to actually get some punch out of them. In some of the fittings, actually, we've also found that it actually does too much because of the way the orientation are of with the LEDs opposed to them, like these, which are being bounced in. If you were to have a panel which, because some panels are, and I think some of the ones out there are, where it's direct LEDs coming out of the fitting, then of course, yes, and certainly on the spot, you do get a large punch, but again, it's in that source, so you're just moving the lamp left and right, you would quite easily see it and find where it was. That's Brian.
Then it's a flat light.
Yeah.
That's a soft light.
Yes, no. No, they're not comparable in any way. So that's what the manufacturers are looking at doing and actually trying to make a Fresnel lamp, basically.
It's a reflector, isn't it?
Yeah, because there's different companies which have been trying to do different things. I mean, everyone is familiar with some of the newer fittings. The componentry on the barn doors aren't as strong as what they probably might have been on an old-fashioned Strand lamp, for example. So there are some companies which are doing some retrofit, i.e. that they're taking the old fittings and they're trying to then put a modification inside them, so you can still use the same original fitting and putting in an LED housing to actually make them either daylight or tungsten. The area which they're struggling with also is the focus. I mean, if you're trying to look at a Fresnel lamp or a floodlight like a redded or a blonde, you can obviously still spot and flood those. So the mechanism of actually trying to do that, because the way LEDs work a little bit, obviously, opposed to a tungsten lamp, the travel within it, so the fitting itself ends up being a lot larger. So one of the equivalent almost 1 kilowatt lamp fixtures which a manufacturer is making at the moment is about sort of that sort of size, and with the electronics and everything else within it, just make it size then comes into a factor as well. I must admit, I haven't noticed anything, and I haven't heard anything back from what we've been actually doing and chatting to the gentleman who's been doing them within our company. But I'm sure that there could well be elements where there could be some fittings which flicker simply because of the way they're controlled. But I wouldn't be the best person to give you the details on that one.
You mentioned about retrofitting.
Yeah. Because you're looking at then, I'm guessing that you're looking at trying to put a light fixture onto an existing base.
Yes, I mean, finding in the domestic market, is anybody going down that route?
The only route which we've been looking at, which we will be going down, not for lamp fixtures though, is because of the nature of, so touched on the casualty set and our problems there. Obviously, all the practicals and everything, the wall lights now have to be daylight sourced. So therefore, we've been looking at fixtures. We've got like the GU10 base, which you're probably all maybe familiar with in your kitchens and your houses and the like. So there actually are an LED fittings now, not just which are dichroic, i.e. that they're a spot, but actually cylindrical. So it's pretty much like your low energy light fluorescent fittings, which you put in your house and at home. Those fittings now are going to be LED, which then makes it a lot easier for us. Also, we can control those. We're actually fairly, fairly straightforward. So that any wall light or any light fixture then can be changed to those as well. And again, you then have the spectrum of what colour temperature you decide for those. Which is interesting, because the fittings then the existing fittings are now too small. So you now have to go to the manufacturer and get some fittings which then can hide and take the actual fittings, the actual bulbs themselves.
Can I just ask then, with LEDs, it's a fairly new technology of the business we're in. Is it right in saying that they either work or they don't work, or is there a drop off? Do they change colour as they're wearing out? I don't know about this.
Yeah, again, that's down to the type of ones which are actually in the fittings in the first place. Yes, over a period of time they do decay. much the same as a fluorescent tube would be, or even a daylight source lamp at the moment, because the actual true level of that colour temperature on, say, a daylight lamp will actually diminish over time. So yes, they do go over a period, which again, from anybody then going to purchase them, and certainly from the supplier who's trying to put in order for, you know, it's a big fight at the moment regarding, the manufacturers are really trying to obviously sell their products, which is fantastic, and for people to use them, though, no one's going to put their hand in their pocket, probably in here, to go and buy some, because you don't really know where you are with them at the moment. So the risk in some respects has been put over to the suppliers to actually then do that, or try and at least come to an arrangement where you do have a set amount of products which we can put out, so everybody then gets used to them, and then those type of problems which you've highlighted there can be ironed out.
Do you think it's going to have any reflection on crew levels?
Either increasing or decreasing? Yeah, good question. Well, being an electrician off the road myself, no, hopefully not. No, I don't think that is the case. We haven't found that. There are sets, again, which there's different ways of doing it. Over in Wales, there's also another studio with the Drama Village. We have Casualty at one end. We have the Welsh drama called Bobley Coombe, which is based at BBC Llandaff at the moment, which is all done BBC in-house. That will be in the centre, and Doctor Who, upstairs, downstairs, or whatever they decide to put in it, will be at the very end. All three productions are exceptionally all different. How Casualty Lights is unique to itself, really. Bobley Coombe is, again, unique to how they light and operate the programme. And Doctor Who is again, probably more unique, only because they do use the sets which they build are only for each individual one, except for the TARDIS. And we're looking at different ways of trying to actually do that, because at the moment that actually draws a fair amount of power. For example, I think it's 100 kilowatts on that at the moment, because it's 50 blondes coming around part of the set. So any production looking to actually then change it and trying to change the different fittings, of course, and having the set lit with LEDs, because they're using it from the architecturals, is going to, you know, decrease that quite a lot. So going back to your question, probably Coombe are trying to blanket, or some studios are trying to blanket light the whole set. So in essence, by so doing so, is trying to decrease the amount of technicians then, therefore, which you need. However, the problem with that, though, of course, is the actual, the fittings you're putting in, you know, they're going to be constant, it's not going to move. The type of lighting is always going to alter. So the productions which we're looking at, and certainly for drama, now the levels are going to still be the same, because the type of lighting here, which we've seen, is more for in with the artists, opposed to then you're still going to be wanting to have your cherry picker and your large backlight as well. Anything else? Yes.
Generator truck.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Does that stay as big as it is, or are you all
generator truck? Well, that size? Yes. I mean, again, the other area which we've been looking at on that one, which I suppose has come under the green banner in some respects, is also changing to looking at the various different fuels which are out there. Now, the actual producing the electricity does require that the fuel actually can run the generator for the oil. To produce the actual loading which you're putting upon it, and some of the fuels which are out there, actually we have to then start doing a mix with, because even though it's the wrong phrase to use, but for diesel you do need a bit of oomph into it. Even I know that is the wrong phrase to use with it, but that's what is required to actually produce the electricity. However, there are some generators which they're looking at the moment, which could well be battery powered or electric, so you charge them up beforehand. So there's different companies at the moment trying to alter things to look at. But at the moment, of course, it really does depend upon your loading. It depends on what you're trying to achieve.
You could put a little woman on the back,
wouldn't
need a generator.
That's very true. Right, that's right. Which actually, your size of your trucks is also going to be dictated to, because the amount of products out there, as myself as a supplier, knows the amount of products which I could actually send out, and various DUPs like Cameron are requesting,
the range, because simply they are either trying or may have the choice or the just-in-case type of fittings there. The range is so large now, so therefore, in reality, then the trucks end up being bigger simply because we're carrying more items.
Yeah. No, I didn't think they were going to get this far.
No. Well, you need the spark somewhere to have a cup of tea when it's raining, don't you? So, yes, I hope that everything's been sort of informative. What I've tried to do is not to be too technical, but to give a broad, you know, synopsis really of where we are at the moment with LED and the various projects which are open out there. Obviously, fluorescent is still going moving forward and still working very well and has proven itself already. So, in regarding to energy saving across the board, it can only develop any better, but we find ourselves in a very transitional period at the moment.
Any more questions for anyone at all?
So when do you see them being on the market?
Which ones?
The whole range.
Well, a lot of products are already there, so you know that's what I've been trying to get across in a very probably awful manner, but is a case of actually using the products which are there for the job, opposed to actually there's so much trying to replicate things all the time. So there's products which are out there. It's really a case of upon the quantity and what you're actually trying to achieve.
Anyone else got any more questions for Chris? Okay, I think thanks very much.
Okay, thank you
that.
Very much. Thank you.
Just so you know, lunch is now served. If you want to exit through that door there, you can.